Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, good to have you with us today.
It's great to be with you again, Dr.
Good. Let's talk about the Federal Reserve. You know, that deserves a lot of attention, even though over the years I didn't think they paid much attention. But I would say compared to the 1970s when I first got to Washington, the Fed has become much more important. It was always behind the scenes that you heard about the Federal Reserve. But no, today I think people are getting very concerned and very hopeful that they're going to pull it out of the hat again. You know, the one question I have gotten over the years has been, who owns the Fed? And, you know, and there's lots of ways to look at that. Who controls the Fed? Who are the owners? Who owns the stock? Who owns the power? And we'll try to sort a little bit of that out. But the unemployment rates are skyrocketing, 40 million people unemployed. The rate is about 20%, 14%, not quite like the 20% tile like in the Depression. But it is very significant what the Fed is doing, and it looks like they've temporarily revived the bubble. At least they stopped the bubble further exploding, but I don't think it's all over. I think we're going to have a second wave of the market going down. It was a big crash. Everybody knows things are different now, and the unemployment. And it was combined with this tragedy brought on by coronavirus, which wasn't the event that caused everything, but it was the event that really precipitated it and opened it. Even though the Fed was on the ropes even before coronavirus, the stocks were going down and the signs that the depression and recession was coming. But this really, made it much, much worse, and people are very much aware of it. The concern I have right now, just in trying to pursue what I like to do, is try to explain things. I would say that the coronavirus may well have been used as a deflection away from blaming the Federal Reserve for the downturn, because nobody really talks about the Fed causing all this trouble. Right now, they're saying, hey, this Fed's pretty good. They got the stocks going back up again. They've just handed out $3 trillion. That's not bad. Not many groups in the country or in the world has ever done that. So there they are, printing money like crazy. But then the stocks popped up, which I think will just be temporary, because the economy has not revived. There's so many problems. And the philosophy based on how they ran the bailout and the solution for coronavirus panic, that hasn't gone away, and that's going to be with us. And you combine that with the Fed, and I think that's a main reason why we're going to be in trouble for a long time. And there's going to be a lot of panicking going on, and we hear of that. Our foreign policy, I think, is still in trouble. And this whole idea that printing money is going to be the solution for printing too much money. So, and that's what they're trying to do. But there's a lot of fear out there, and it's fear that drives things. The fear is what gave us the Federal Reserve in the first place. It's fear that what gave us this overreaction to coronavirus. So people should, be exposed to other ideas to explain what's going on, rather than just listening to the demagogues, because it's easy to stir up the fear, and that's what we have to deal with. And that seems to be one of the targets for those individuals and the groups who are very much behind the Federal Reserve System. And I believe the same group that's behind the Federal Reserve System, the deep state, a group of individuals that have a lot to say about it, they are also the ones that can orchestrate a panic over coronavirus. So they claim the Fed is supposed to help us, but they claim helping after they've created a bubble. But that is a big issue that's going on. I think it's going to last for a long time until people realize that something else has to happen. And I think that one of the confusing things about the Fed has been, exactly how it works, who owns it, and who controls it. Because the ownership, quite frankly, on paper, it said the individual banks buy Federal Reserve stock, and they get paid dividends on it, and that is true. Some people say, no, it's only those six big banks. They control it totally and completely, and they help create it. But some people argue, oh, this is totally private, and that'll explain everything. Well, I don't think it can be explained by just saying the Federal Reserve is private. I think there's a much worse term for it. the Federal Reserve is secret, and it was granted this authority by a congressional action by totally ignoring the Constitution. That is the reason that over the years, from the very first time I went to Congress, that I've demanded, and hopefully someday they'll learn more about it, is an audit of the Fed. I think if the audit occurs, people will realize what kind of shenanigans are going on. But some people say, Ron, you should only talk about abolishing the Fed. Well, I talk about that too. I wrote a book, Abolish the Fed, End of the Fed. But that's not going to happen until the Fed self-destructs, or we have a lot of different people in Washington. Right now, the Fed is in charge of further messing up this country and further undermining our liberties and further financing wars. So this is a very important issue. And right now, we're in the midst of a serious economic downturn, and they have no more thought about what's happening or what to do than the man in the moon. So I think that this is the reason we're getting a lot of attention, Chris, from a lot of our viewers and new viewers, for that matter, on trying to explain how these issues have come about.
That's right, Dr. Paul. And the Federal Reserve, as you mentioned, is a critical part. Of the deep state. You know, I hear those words and see those words and read those words a lot now. So it's a new concept for Americans. But, you know, unaccountable power, it's power 101. You always want to let others do the dirty work for you. You know, if you have a lust for power, the pinnacle is for it to be unaccountable. And, you know, America's founders were brilliant when it came to liberty and understanding power. That's why they tried to chain down government by saying, you can do this, this, and this, and that's it. You can't do anything else. They wanted to prevent interests behind the throne from using politicians to just expand power. Unfortunately, those days are gone. Since 1913, when the Fed was created, it was over since then, which is why we focus on them so much. But, you know, the game is always the same. The only way to neutralize deep state politicians, any form of government power, is with liberty and especially sound money.
Very, very good. And the argument I get against what I always wanted to do was audit the Fed has always been Fed is supposed to be independent, and if you do that, then there'll be a political pressure on what to do. And that was the argument from the very beginning. Matter of fact, Wilson, when they established the Federal Reserve in 1913, he was strongly in favor of having the 12 regional banks, and they would be a privately elected bank, and that they would represent the community, so to speak. Well, the whole thing his argument there was that he didn't want to centralize it. But that was just fluff. That was just pretense. And right now, this is one of the arguments they use. They say the Fed has to be independent. And I always use the word differently, because you have to understand that they aren't really independent. They're controlled, like Chris says, you know, by the deep state. And even though the Federal Reserve chairman is approved by the Senate and all this, they're still, you know, representing of the deep state. But the secrecy is always there. Independence is not what they want. They don't want people to know what's going on, because it's big time. Just think of if just since this crisis hit on the coronavirus a month or so, that they could create and pass out $3 trillion. Mm-hmm. Why don't people say, how do they do that? You know, in the old days, it was more difficult. You couldn't print that much money. And we still use that word casually. They print up the money. They don't. They just have a computer there and can tap it in, and that puts credit digits in the system, bail out the banks. They bailed out a lot of people already. Individuals are getting checks. But I think the big change right now, and why we're going to see this differently than any recovery before, even the difference in 08 and 09. And that is, yes, they're going to bail out the big banks, and they've already got in front of the line. But there's also this effort to avoid this thing and say that's the only group that get bails out. So now they want to bail out individuals, which is impossible, but it might make people feel good for a couple days or a week or so. And they'll be very upset if they hear what I say, because they say, you know, I got a check and I was able to pay my rent. Yeah, maybe you could pay your rent for 1 or 2 months, but what are you going to do in a year from now if your jobs don't come back. And so they now have started this helicopter money. They're trying to get the money in the hands of people, and the helicopter really is the electronic transfer of funds. Immediately, you have to give them credit. In days, maybe they were planning it, within days, they had that all geared up. You know, and a lot of people had it. They were so fast to it, they even sent the money out to the dead people because they didn't have trouble enough time to get them off the list. So I think that is what's going to happen. So what will this do for the average person? The average person is going to suffer worse because it won't solve the problem of unemployment, but it'll temporarily make people feel better. But it's when money is spent more in the hands of the consumer, what happens, prices, that pushes prices up. And that, just like the, one of the major goals that the Federal Reserve really admits to and everybody knows about, their main goal isn't just price stability and full employment because they don't do a very good job. For years now, their goal has always been take care of the stock market. And all you have to do is listen to our president. I mean, that's how we really went gangbusters this last year when the Fed thought they should slow up a little bit, don't print so fast. And a lot of pressure, a lot of political pressure was put on them, and they turned it up again, and the bubble got bigger and bigger until, the expected bursting of the bubble has occurred. And that's why they are doing this. But prices are going to go up. The consumer price index will go up. It will be eventually, we had stagflation in the 70s. The economy wasn't too healthy, and also there was a lot of inflation, which dumbfounded them. They say, oh no, when you have a weak economy, prices are supposed to go down, which is not true at all, because there is such a thing as stagflation. But there's also inflationary depressions. Prices are going up and you have a depression. And that is like what's happening in Venezuela. The prices aren't going down. The money supply is not going down. Money supply keeps increasing. Prices keep going up, and they don't get a healthy economy. And here they have one of the richest countries in South America with all their oil. And the factor is missing, and Chris already mentioned it. You got to solve it with freedom and property rights. That's what does it. And nobody's really talking about this. It's all temporary. It's like an addiction. They need a fix. Everybody needs a fix right now. And the demanding for a fix is going to grow and grow. And the only thing that they have to offer is more digits, more of a money supply, not more freedom and more sensible understanding. And it's just going to be the same old thing until it ends. Now, I think it's going to end, and something has to change. I think we will lose our reserve status as the world reserve currency. But I always work on trying to get Congress to audit the Fed and do those things. But that's mainly to get attention, because the odds of us seeing a reversal in a legislative fashion of people going to Washington and representing our viewpoint, and all of a sudden, oh, let's audit the Fed this year, and next year we'll get rid of the Fed. It's not going to happen. But the Fed will not continue to exist because it's so ineffective. It's at fault here. It creates problems like this. And then on top of that, what do they facilitate? Last week or so, we talked about the facilitator. They facilitate war and welfare and deficits and anything a congressman and want to do. The only contest is not between should we be doing this or not. It's a contest between, the Republicans and Democrats. Who gets to print the checks and write the checks? Who gets in front of the line? Whose friends get taken care of first? But they all believe in warmongering. They believe in the welfare state. And they believe in manipulating interest rates and think that that's all it is. But that's all they've heard in our universities, probably since the 30s. The Keynesian model has been around for so long, it doesn't work, and yet they just say more and more and more. They're addicted to this, but eventually it'll overwhelm, and the people, hopefully, by then will say, well, maybe we don't need a Federal Reserve. Maybe we don't need these printing presses. Maybe we don't need the Fed to be the facilitator. Maybe we don't need the Fed to be the taxer. Because when they print that money, it dilutes the value of the money you have. So they've stolen money without knocking on your door by the IRS agent. It's a gimmick they've used for years, and they've gotten away with it. We've had special benefits given to us because we could print the reserve currency of the world. They're still dependent on the dollar. But it can't last, and nobody knows the day it's going to end, but it will. It's on shaky grounds right now. The economy was on shaky grounds, and we've seen how quickly it could collapse. So eventually that could happen with the currency itself. The confidence in the dollar could collapse rather quickly, too. So, Chris, let's do our very best to change that attitude so that they'll look toward sound money for an answer.
That's right, Dr. Paul, and so many great points. I don't know which one to highlight, but you know what our viewers should understand is that they do not know what they're doing. It really is ad hoc, and it cannot last. And if you think about what happened after the 2008 crash, they blew up the biggest bubble to ever exist in the world, and now they're printing money at magnitudes even greater than what they did in 2008. So it's possible, and nobody knows what the future holds, to see new stock market highs with tens of millions unemployed. I mean, you want to talk about fodder for leftists, because they're going to just say what they always say, blame capitalism. There's no capitalism anywhere. We need capitalism badly. We need free markets. We need sound money and no Federal Reserve. Capitalism died when the Federal Reserve was created. And, you know, we're seeing now the destruction that this system creates. We have 40 million unemployed. And as our friend Jeff Dice points out, it's much easier to destroy than to build. You know, these lockdowns are not being lifted, at least not 100%. You have governors that have political incentive not to lift them because everybody hates Trump. And the Trump administration is not helping. You know, they paid people to stay home from work. They've sent out all these welfare checks. And the thing about welfare is once you give it out, good luck trying to take it back. Now politically it'll hurt you. And he wants to get reelected in November. He's gonna take away the welfare checks. So it's a big mess. You know, the stock market is not a reflection of reality. And all of this comes back to the Federal Reserve.
Yes, and things can change rather rapidly. I remember so clearly in 1971 when they put on wage and price controls along with getting rid of the gold standard totally and completely. But once you lose the ability to price things in the market, you know, supply and demand, and put on controls, it's devastating. The economy collapsed real fast. Fortunately, they had enough sense in a few years later to get rid of the price controls. But prices are so important. It tells the savers what to do. It tells what the spenders are supposed to do. It tells what the businessman has to do. It knows what prices should be. So the freer the market is, this is why you know, putting on sanctions and tariffs and interfering with prices across borders is so bad. Can you imagine what it'd be like to have price controls between 50 states? It would be horrendous. But anyway, the price control is so important. But there is one price that is the most important. That's the price of money, which is called interest rates. And the interest rates tell people what to do. They give you an idea of what a real cost would be to invest. And you should, in capitalism, in free markets, what you have to do is get an indication on what's available with true capital, not printing press money and credit out of the Fed, but what is true capital? What kind of savings rates are out there? And then they can work that into the decision on how much risk they can take. But that's gone. That's gone now. All they're talking about right now is very, very low interest rates, you know, 1% and less. And they say, well, within a month or so, it's going to be negative. And you're going to run an economy on negative interest rates? The whole thing is absurd. And it's a consequence. It's predictable. It's like it is the addiction. More and more, it doesn't work more and more until you kill the patient. And unfortunately, right now, the patient is the whole economy. And it won't be, you know, just our economy. Chris mentioned that how clearly it is. It's a bigger bubble than ever because it's been a dollar bubble. It's worldwide. So when it goes down, it astounded me how this overreaction to coronavirus has been spread worldwide because of just the system that we have devised. But this whole thing that there'll be creating negative interest rates, and all the Fed can do, you know, they created $3 trillion here in the last couple of months. Why can't they create $10 trillion next week? They can't. They might, but they can't do it and expect good results. So I guess eventually somebody's going to have to encourage the American people to endorse, and I'd like to participate in that encouragement, that we need a different idea of what governments should be doing. A government shouldn't be a central economic planner. They shouldn't be manipulating the currency, and they should, you know, be in the business of protecting our liberties and our property rights and freedom exchange, voluntarism, and get rid of the authoritarianism that may crop up. But the authoritarianism now is 99% of it's coming from our government. And authoritarianism doesn't work because that's when what the politicians love, and they're anxious to do it. So there's a lot of authoritarians fighting over the pie in Washington, but they're not fighting over common sense, and they're not fighting over getting rid of the Federal Reserve financing their wars in the welfare state and coronavirus bailouts, all these things. They're not even talking about it. And it always amazed me, although I'm not surprised, that in the midst of the impeachment hearings and even the coronavirus hearings, there was always enough time to vote for a bigger budget. And the budgets will always be passed. And I think on one of them, they didn't even actually have a vote. You know, it was just by voice vote, and the Congress wasn't even there. And it's irrelevant in many ways, because if Congress won't do it and pretend it's legal, the Federal Reserve will do it. And the Federal Reserve, just think, the Constitution said you have to have authorization appropriations, and every penny has to go through that process that the Congress spent. Well, now, how about that $3 trillion? Nobody authorized it. Nobody appropriated it. And yet they do it. Well, it was an emergency, and we better do it. Yeah, well, why don't we think about the emergency and decide that more poison is not going to solve our problem?
That's right, Dr. Paul. I'll try to finish up on a positive note, because we believe in liberty, and we cannot ever allow people that believe in power to squash our optimism. So if you want to know what the deep state wants, look at what the political class does. And when you look at the political class today, you see nothing but lies and deceptions, fake news, fake money from the Fed, fake stock markets, fake wars. Does anybody really believe that America, by turning countries into dust, is bringing freedom anywhere? I mean, we need freedom here. We have our own freedom problems. There's fake welfare. There's hundreds of trillions that have been promised to people. Where are those hundreds of trillions going to come from? So if you look at the deep state and the political class, look at the means that they're using. They're not building anything that could possibly last. If you want to build something to last, you need the truth. You need free markets, sound money. You need voluntary interactions. With those means, with those materials, you could actually build something that lasts and it actually stands the test of time.
Very good, Chris. And I'm sure we have listeners listening to this, and they say, well, it still sounds too complicated. It shouldn't be this complicated. And you talk about the Federal Reserve, I can't follow all of that. And it doesn't have to be complicated. And I'm going to try, you know, to make it as simple and clear cut as possible. Because we start with a premise that we as individuals own our lives, that we have self-ownership. Government doesn't own us. We don't get our liberties from government. So therefore, what we produce is ours. And we ought to have the right to tell the world and everybody else, if it's our money and our life and it's the fruits of our labor, it should be ours, which means, well, that's pretty radical. That means you couldn't have an income. Yeah, that's a pretty good idea. And we didn't have one from the beginning of our country up until 1913. So I think that's a pretty good idea. So self-ownership is great, and everything should be voluntary. It should bring people together, because if you have a society like that, and you have some people that like to spend their money, you know, gambling, and some other people might like to spend their money investing, you wouldn't argue over this. People would make their own decisions, and if they made a mistake, though, this is always the thing that gets people. If you do have this, you earn some money, and you decide to invest, and it goes bad, you don't have a right to go to somebody else who was more cautious and have a better business going. So, this whole idea of freedom of choice brings people together in social matters too, whether it's personal habits, whether it's religious beliefs or anything else. And that's why liberals and progressives and conservatives ought to all come together. We want liberty, and we don't want anybody telling each other how to use it, as long as you don't hurt people, you don't steal, rob, and kill. And believe me, that is not complicated. Those ideas have been around for a long, long time. Thousands of years, mankind has talked about this, and at times they do better than others. We certainly, our country tried to follow those rules, in our early history. But in the last 100 years, and we have drifted a long way, because 100 years ago, a little bit more, we didn't have an income tax, we didn't have a Federal Reserve, and we had a high respect for individual liberty. We weren't the policemen of the world. So it does change that. We have to usher in a new age where we will, have emphasis on liberty. And it's not new or strange, but it can be improved. It can be better. I always argue that, yes, we could have a hard money, honest monetary standard rather than paper and fiat. But it can be decided in the marketplace. And I think we could do a better job even than the Constitution did in our early years, because there were still some fuzzy things. But even its imperfections lasted up until the death of using the metals for money was up in 1971. It was messy, but now it's really messy. Fiat is bad news. It's unethical. It's immoral. And I'll tell you what, that we should be able to get a majority of the American people say, that makes sense. It really isn't complicated. I like this idea of owning our oneself, owning what we do, being able to keep what we earn. And that, to me, should bring us all together and fight for liberty. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.